Father, now we pray for Pastor John as he brings forth the word. We pray that you'd anoint it, that you would bless it, and Lord, that would find room in our heart. Lord, we give you praise and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, over the past few weeks, we've been talking about fighting the good fight of faith. And we've seen that God has called us to be bold and to walk with confidence and and to recognize the incomparably great power that is available to us who believe. And last week I talked about being a courageous Christian. If you were here, you might remember that. And I was thinking of, you know, people like Moses and Joshua and David and the Apostle Paul and especially Jesus. Every one of them were strong and courageous. And every one of them fought the good fight of faith. And, you know, that's quite a lineup of people to follow after. And, you know, we might be thinking to ourselves, well, how could I compete or how can I compare myself with Joshua, Jesus, Paul? Well, that's exactly why the Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians 1:18. He prayed, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for Joshua, Moses, and Jesus. Right? No, for us who believe, for all of us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Jesus from the dead. That same power that was available to all those mighty warriors and many more that we've read about, that same power is available to every single one of us. Why? Because God created us to be world changers. He made us. He created us. He designed us to be powerful, to be victorious, to be courageous, conquering world changers. Romans 8:31 through 35 said, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? That's us. We're his chosen. It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Right now, he's up there in heaven at the right hand of God, praying for you and me. That his power, that same power that raised him from the dead, would manifest itself in us, that we would walk in that power. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? What about things that we face like fear and doubt or discouragement or money problems or marriage problems or work problems or embarrassment or whatever it might be? Well, he gives us a clear answer. In verse 37, Romans 8:37, it says, no, none of these things are going to separate you from that love of God, that power that comes from God. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who saved us. God has put in you, the ability to be more than a conqueror. He's put it in every single one of us through Christ Jesus, our Savior. One of my favorite stories is in the book of Judges about a young man named Gideon. In Judges chapter 6, we're told that the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years, he gave them over into the hands of the Midianites. God caused the Midianites to basically just continually attack them, come in and steal and rob and do everything, destroy their crops. God was using the Midianites, the Amalekites, and all these other warring nations to come in and basically discipline the Israelites, his people. After 7 years of that, living in caves, living in fear for their lives, and living in fear of their enemies, they finally got to the point where they started crying out to God for help. It took them 7 years. They were a stubborn, stiff-necked people. We read it all the time. And it's, so it tells us Midian, verse 8, or 6, excuse me, verse 6, Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. And soon after they cried out, an angel of the Lord shows up, and he appears to Gideon, who's hiding in a wine press, threshing the wheat. And when the angel of the Lord, it says in verse, Judges 6:12, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And Gideon answers, "Pardon me, my Lord? But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." Now, isn't that just like a person? Oh, you know, we go out and do what we want. We totally neglect the Lord. We forget everything he ever told us. We do our thing. And then what happened to God? How come God's not blessing me now? How come he abandoned me? The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have." He didn't even listen to that. He just totally ignored it. And says, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" And Gideon says, "Well, pardon me again, Lord, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. I'm just a little punk. How do you expect me to save Israel? One little guy." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." So Gideon went to work, and he raised up an army. He got 32,000 men, you know, to stand with him to fight, nowhere near enough to fight the 135,000 hardened battle warriors that were coming to attack them. But early in the morning, while Gideon and his men were at their camp, they had a visitor. Chapter 7, verse 2 says, "The Lord said to Gideon, 'You got too many men.'" He's got 32,000 men against 135,000 men. "You have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into your hands, or Israel would boast against me, saying, 'My own strength has saved me.'" So Gideon tells his men, at God's direction, "If you're trembling in fear, go ahead and leave." So 10,000 men left. Still, even with just now 22,000 men, it was still too many. God showed him how to thin them out until there were only 300 men left. So they sent home 31,700 soldiers, kept 300 to fight 135,000. Sounds like a pretty good odds, doesn't it? For them, the bad guys. So then God says, "With these 300, I will save you, and I will give the Midianites into your hands." If you remember the story, each man had a trumpet, and each man had a jar with a torch in it. And they stood at the top of the hill, and they surrounded the Midianite camp, and the Midianites, God had already put fear into them. They'd already been having dreams. They were already worried about what was going to happen. And then, at a certain time, at a certain sign from Gideon, all 300 of them blew their trumpets. They smashed their jars and raised up their torches and shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." And God put a spirit of fear and intimidation on all 135,000 of these warriors. And it says in verse 22, when the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. After that, they chased down the few thousand that were left that tried to escape. Actually, it was about 15,000. They chased them down along with some, they got some help from a couple of the other tribes, and they killed them all. And Israel was at peace for 40 years. A whole generation. Now, they didn't just win a battle. They annihilated their enemies. 300 guys destroyed 135,000. The worst, meanest, baddest warriors in town. They were more than conquerors. They put their faith in God, and God delivered just as He always does. Even when we're wrong, right? God delivers. God's love for us is so powerful. His commitment to us is unshakable. It doesn't matter what we face. It just doesn't matter. When we are in Christ, when we're walking in His will, we're obeying His word, we're unbeatable. That's why God tells us to be bold, to be strong, to be courageous, to walk with confidence. Romans 8:37 says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. 1 John 5:4, everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Our faith in God. That's our connection to Him, that love connection that we have with God, and that's what makes it possible, this where we believe, where we have this faith, and there's this love connection, this bond between us. We have to have faith. Faith in God's word. Faith in God's ability. Faith in God's truth. Faith in God's power. Faith in God's victory. Faith in what God wants to do in us. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is having confidence in what we hope for and a conviction or a certainty about what we do not see. We may not see it yet, but if we have faith, we believe it. We go beyond belief to conviction. Conviction means it's so ingrained in us that we're going to live, we're going to move, we're going to act as we know it's already happening, it's already done. Noah, through faith, he built an ark even though he had never seen rain. I know some of you have been out there and seen that ark. Thing is huge. How long would it take him to build that ark? How much work that took? And he did it because of his faith in God. By faith, Abraham moved his whole family, all his clan, everybody with him to a foreign land. He didn't even know where he was going. By faith, Abraham believed the promise that God made to him and to Sarah that they would have a child, even though Sarah was way past childbearing age. By faith, Moses left Egypt, went through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho came crashing down. By faith, Daniel was saved from the lions. And the list goes on and on. It's sometimes some people call it the heroes of faith, the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. You can read about it. Every one of those people were commended by God. And every one of them experienced amazing victories, tremendous victories. Every one of them were more than conquerors through their faith in God. We live in a world that lives by what it can see, what it can feel. A world of unbelief where it concerns the things of God. A world whose wisdom is foolishness to God. That's the kind of world that we live in. A world where everyone runs after things that only will rot and rust, fall apart, break, and be destroyed. Things that won't last, things that we can't take with us. That's what the world runs after. But even though we live in this world. According to Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven. We are not of this world. We've been born or born again into a spiritual family, the family of God. We are now a citizen of heaven. We have access now to God's truth. And this truth becomes a powerful reality in our life if we learn to be led by the Spirit of God, by that power that the Holy Spirit puts in us. When we reach into God's Word and we grab hold of that truth and we apply it in our life, even though we're living in this world, we open up a door then to this incomparably great power that comes from God. We have a direct line, direct access, like we got our own Wi-Fi to God. And this power then begins to flow into us and through us. That's how we become more than conquerors. Based on faith, on the access that we have to God, because of the love of God, because of the victory of Christ on the cross. All these things are all working together. It doesn't matter if we don't feel it. We have to believe it. It doesn't matter even when we know that we're weak. Yeah, we're weak. That pillar of faith that we know as the Apostle Paul, he felt the same kind of weakness that we do. He prayed to God, it says, and asked him 3 times to take away a weakness that he was struggling with, a thorn in the flesh. We all have weaknesses at one time or another, every one of us. And that's why Paul asked God to remove that weakness from him. But 2 Corinthians 12:9, he got God's answer. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you because my power is made perfect in weakness. In your weakness, in my weakness. When we are weak, God's power becomes strong. So Paul says then, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. There doesn't seem to be any way around it. God's plan for us as Christians, as His people, His desire, His plan, His expectation is for us to be more than conquerors. He created us to be a conquering people. World-changing people, earth-moving people. Not just surviving, but living a life of abundance, a life of victory. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. Do we believe that? 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. One last story. In ancient Greece, some of you may remember this, you might have seen this in an old movie or something like that, but in ancient Greece, and this is true, there was a famous island city by the name of Rhodes. This city had a great natural harbor, and it was a major trading center. It was a republic. It was a free society, sort of like Switzerland, a neutral society. They didn't get involved in everybody's wars because they were this huge trading place. Everybody stored their money there. Thousands of ships came in, traded with them. Well, the city came under attack by this general by the name of Demetrius. He wanted this city for himself. He was trying to, you know, make all these conquests, and he was afraid that this neutral city might supply stuff to his enemies. So he wanted to take it over. He had some success. He got all these other ships to come in and battle with him, all these pirates and everybody coming in and working. He had about 1,000 ships come in to fight with him, but they couldn't take the city. But they got real close at one point, but just when it looked like he might finally take the city, the citizens of Rhodes rose up and they counterattacked and they beat him back. And so after a year of laying siege to the city, the citizens of Rhodes kicked out this general Demetrius, and he left it. And he left behind all his armor, he left behind all his weapons, he left behind these giant war machines that he invented, giant things like 100 and some feet high that would come up over city walls, and then men could come back down, giant battering rams that took 1,000 men to lift. This guy was serious. But the citizens defeated him. And what they did then was they took all that captured material, it was mostly, a lot of it was brass, they took all that captured material and they made this giant statue called the Colossus of Rhodes. You might have seen pictures of it or heard about it. It was about 110 feet high, and it stood right at the harbor, guarding the harbor coming in. And it was considered to be one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And the interesting thing about that is that the victors, the people of Rhodes, they became the victors, and they turned the very weapons that were meant for their destruction into this beautiful statue that stood in their harbor and brought glory to them and their city. They were more than conquerors. Now it's our turn to take whatever the enemy throws at us, whatever kind of devices he used to come against us, whatever kind of schemes and plans he has planned against us. And he does, believe me. And the things within us, the things that are in us from our own life, our own self, all these different things, we can take and we can overcome them. And we can turn these very things that were meant for evil and overcome them with good. And use them then for God's glory. So that we ourselves can then be more than conquerors. I'll read this scripture one last time. And Sarah, you want to play this song for me in 1 second? I want to close with a song, but I just want to read the scripture again. Romans 8:37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I'm going to take a little step from Kenny here, who likes to play a song. And I see him smiling back there like, hey, that's what I do, Pastor John. Well, I got a song for you here. And go ahead and play it, sir. I can't show that video. See the words there, no? Okay, oh yeah. Turn it up. One.
When my hope and still strength more. Is gone, you're the one who calls me on. You are the light. You are the fight that's in my soul.
Still a little bit more, still.
Oh, your resurrection power burns like fire in my heart. When waters rise, I lift my eyes up to your throne. to sin or to shame. We are defiant in your name. You are the fire that cannot be tamed. You are the power in our veins, our Lord, our God.
It's a song called We Are More Than Conquerors. It's through a group called Wren Collective. They're a little worship band from Ireland. So, there's things going on over in Europe. If I could have the prayer team come forward. We're going to close in prayer. Don't forget Tuesday night, our trunk or treat. Wednesday night, home meetings. Thursday, Bible study. Got stuff going on all the time. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you so much for your word, for your truth. Lord, we thank you that through you, through Christ, that you created us to be more than conquerors, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Oh. correct.